He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Good morning, New York. Welcome back to work in real life after a wonderful weather weekend here in the Big Apple, enjoying July weather without the humidity. Hope you had a great weekend. I spent a lot of this Memorial Day on the Hudson River, where I gave a couple of boat tours of the harbor there, the Statue of Liberty, World Trade Center, etc., past elements of our fleet. Gathered in New York, of course, for Fleet Week, just ending today. It's our annual celebration of the Navy and the Marines, all our armed forces. You know, I was writing to an old friend still deployed in Afghanistan. Actually, he's the commander there, General John Campbell. And he asks more than anything that we never forget that as we live our relatively safe and comfortable lives, that we never forget the young men and women still risking everything for our country. Especially now, where we're probably going to be sending thousands more troops back to Iraq to help the lame Iraqi army fight ISIS. We still have 10,000 in Afghanistan. We just have to remember them. And again, in that regard, the one statistic, I heard it again this morning, really troubling, aside from our combat casualties, which are vastly fewer than they were during the period of more intense fighting. Worse than that, in terms of how it preys on our conscience, on our hearts, and our minds, is the suicide rate. We're losing an average of 22 U.S. veterans and active duty GIs every single day. 22, I mean, 22 is just a crazy number, and it's 22 too many. And I hate to bum you out here, but as long as we're talking about grim statistics, let me bring it closer to home. I have some statistics, some numbers that are equally unsettling, even in some ways, because it's so close to home, even more rattling to us. The bloodletting continues on the streets of New York and other cities. I hate to bum you out so soon after the holiday weekend, but urban America is continuing to hemorrhage. You know that between Friday night and Sunday night, New York had 8 homicides. A 9th was killed. Noam reported it just after midnight last night, I guess 2 a.m. at the Resorts World Casino in Queens. That's it. It was a woman killed by her
jealous boyfriend.
Well, you know, at least they're keeping it all in the family, as horrible as that is. But I'm telling you, folks, with the dog days of summer fast approaching, the fear is that we are sliding back to the bad old days of the 1970s. 9 dead now in New York. In the 1970s, you remember one of the problems was the hostile relationship between the cops and communities of color. But the color that is most vivid is the streets running red with blood. 9 murders here. You want to really be frightened? Check out what's happening in Baltimore, relatively nearby, just a couple of hundred miles away. A city just 7% the size of ours, also suffering 9 homicides this holiday weekend. Imagine that. 7% the size of ours, same number of murders. And in Baltimore, as here in New York, as in Chicago, as in Cleveland, this holiday weekend, the vast majority of the killings black on black. Now, there is no doubt but that police community relations are crucial to safe neighborhoods, whether in Baltimore, New York, Chicago. Chicago, incidentally, had 12 killed this weekend, at least 43, including a 4-year-old girl wounded this Memorial Day. My goodness, what in the world is happening? What all these towns share in common is that murders are way up. Over last year, the inner city is committing a kind of suicide. Now, I understand that a lot of people are very concerned, as they should be, in Baltimore, in New York, in Cleveland, where, you know, that cop was just acquitted after that bizarre case where the cops fired something like 140 shots at this African-American couple just driving around in a car that was backfiring. So the cops were tried for manslaughter, voluntary and involuntary manslaughter. The cop won the first case, just acquitted. Why? Because the policeman said, or rather the judge said of the cops, that it was impossible to rule that they were not justifiably concerned when they heard the backfiring and they saw this car riding around sounding like shots. They were not unreasonable by jumping on the hood and firing. You should have seen that car. The windshield totally blasted out. There were protests as a result in Cleveland. You know, they've had protests in Baltimore about police conduct. But I'm telling you, I understand how cops are, you know, the relationship between cops and the community is troubling to people. I understand that. I understand how Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. You know, that we have to be concerned about so many minority people dying at the hands of law enforcement. But when you compare it to the number of minority people, black, brown, killing each other, it is a shocking statistic. It is the civil rights issue of our era. And it just bugs me to death that this is one of the few places right here in this program on 77 WABC where anyone is talking about urban suicide, about how our inner cities are killing themselves. Yes, we are concerned, and it is tragic when an Akai Gurley falls in Brooklyn to a policeman's bullet, or Eric Garner dies with a chokehold in Staten Island. These are terrible. There were 9 murders this holiday weekend in New York. Where's the protests? In Baltimore, 9 murders, 28 shootings. Chicago, 12 killed, 43 wounded in shootings, including a 4-year-old girl. 142 murders in Chicago this year compared to 129 last year. Now, New York, we had, let's see, it was 115 last week, plus you had the 10, so you have 124. So we're up, the Daily News says week to week, we're up 60%, but a year to date, we're up here in the city, probably around 12 to 15%. I'll get the final statistics before we're off the air this morning. But we have to see what is going on here, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot ignore it just because you live in a relatively safe neighborhood. You cannot ignore it. You can't ignore the increased muggings in Central Park. You can't ignore the increase in shooting violence here and elsewhere. The civil rights leaders of our day have to see that the police community shootings are a symptom of a much larger problem. Why are there these fatal encounters between cops and members of the minority communities? Because there is so much violence in the minority communities, the police are called in disproportionately. They are now, you know, so fearful of getting in trouble because of excessive violence, the cops are, that they are laying back, particularly in Baltimore. You hear anecdotally, even here in New York, although it's a much less severe problem. But when you make the cops the enemy and the cops lay off because everybody is now checking out everything they do, 6 ways to Sunday, and there are so many guns out there, people are using it to kill each other. The city is bleeding. The other cities, the other post-industrial cities, Baltimore, Cleveland, Detroit, my goodness, Chicago now. This is the civil rights issue of our era. It is not cops. It is a culture that is too often extols the virtue of gun violence in song and video and elsewhere, where guns are used to settle even minor disputes, where drug dealing turf battles are leading to a genocide. This is a suicide. Think of it that way. Think about the fact that gun violence is the biggest cause of death in that age group, 18 to 24. It shouldn't be. It can't be this way. Something has to be done to stop this. Where's Al Sharpton? Where's Jesse Jackson? Where are the protesters? Where are the Occupy people? You want to save black and brown lives? Then tell people to stop killing each other over lame, stupid stuff. I mean, not that murder is ever justified, but these are stupid crimes over nothing, a look, a color. a perceived insult. And the resort is always to guns and violence. We have to be vigilant. We have to be concerned. We have to call on our elected officials to see what the real problem is. Police, community violence, I get it. I get it. I love cops, but I get that sometimes cops use excessive force. Sometimes they do. It is a bare fraction of the total number of encounters between cops and the community. A tiny, tiny fraction. Significant, yes. And I never would say that those lives don't matter. But for goodness sake, if a black life killed by a blue cop matters, then why not the black lives, the many multiples of that, that are taken by other black lives? If we don't see this, and this continues, this is May. What's August going to be like? What's July going to be like? What's it going to be like in the dog days when people are sitting out on their stoops and someone goes by and they splash somebody with a hydrant water and that's reason to kill? Shootings and murders increased again this week. And we have just cause to fear the worst.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
You know something, folks? Welcome back. 77 WABC, 866. Geraldo, I'd love you to get involved in this discussion. I see many are already calling. I appreciate that. But I have to restate this because you're only hearing this here. Why is that you're only hearing this here? First of all, why are we so late? We get Baltimore murder statistics the next day. Why?
Immediately.
What's actually happening
almost
here?
Immediately. There seems to be a lag time between the time the NYPD reports the crimes to the media. At least recently, anyway. I've noticed that this morning when I walked in, I did not have a tally that we have later this morning, just a few hours later.
The Daily News got it first about 9 hours ago. I mean, that's so they got it this morning. But I can't see why Comstat can't be immediate. It's a homicide. In other words, it doesn't say that it's a murder, a legal murder. So when someone's dead, they're dead.
Right.
They know they're dead. Why don't they tell us that they're dead? I mean, why does it have to take investigative reporters to find out statistics that are of profound concern to city residents? I don't get it. I really don't. And I'm telling you, this is the other issue. How this is being ignored, Noam. I'm telling you, this is of great concern to me. How you can, it's almost like your house is burning and you're pointing across the street at the guy's hedges and saying they're too high. It is a kind of a learned, studious, intentional ignorance. I'm not putting down anybody, but it is just so much easier to blame cops for what ails you than it is to look at your own self and look at your own street and your own community and your own building and your own family and take responsibility for what's happening.
You know, it's easy and to sort of look the other way when you don't live in these communities where many of these shootings happen time and time again.
That too.
But what's interesting is in Manhattan this year, murders are way up so far.
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan. So that may change the tune just a little bit. 16 people killed in and around the borough between January 1 and this past Sunday. Last year, it was 11 people in the same time period. So that's up 45% just over a year. And then the shootings in the borough have soared. There have been 50 shooting incidents since January 1 in Manhattan compared to 31 the same time period, 2014.
And in Baltimore, I just want to say, if you want the grim future, 35 killed this month, the deadliest month since the 1990s. Here's David, first caller of the week. David, thank you for calling 866. Geraldo, what's on your mind, buddy? Hello, David, you there? He's listening to the radio. Come on, don't listen to the radio, folks. Listen to me. Hi, Al. What's up? What are you thinking about?
Good morning, Geraldo. The thing I don't understand about the black community was you know, 60 years ago, we threw in trillions of dollars into education, so on and so forth, and that's not working out too good. And what I want to say is that, you know, each generation always did better than the second, than the first generation. Puerto Rican, I don't care who it is, the second generation always did better. And I want to know, after 60 years of throwing all this money into these communities, and it's getting worse and not better. So there's something morally wrong with the bringing up to the children, the education. Instead of throwing out guys like Ben Carson, the successful people who made it.
I got you, Al. I got you, buddy. I got the sense of what you're saying there. Things are not getting better. I mean, the proliferation of guns is part of it, but that's not the whole problem. There is a disrespect for human life.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77-WABC.
Welcome back. 37 minutes after 10 o'clock. There is no doubt that police-community relations are crucial to safer cities, safer neighborhoods. And that applies here, Chicago, Cleveland, Baltimore. But aside from the race of the victims, what all these towns share in common is that murders are up over last year. The inner city is committing a kind of suicide. It is, and this is my point, the civil rights issue of our era. It really has to be. And our leaders and the protesters are ignoring it, I think, because it requires introspection. It requires the assumption of personal responsibility rather than blaming others like cops. Sure, there are cops that use excessive force and do terrible things. And sometimes they do awful things accidentally or in the heat of the moment. You know, there aren't many sadistic cops out there. I mean, they don't inflict gratuitous punishment. I mean, once in a while, I get that. But is that really what plagues the inner cities of our nation, including this one? What plagues the inner cities of our nation, including this one, is that minority people are killing each other. Too many guns, too much dope. Don't you miss Stop and Frisk? Let me ask you that. I do. I miss it. In Hackensack, hi, Kate. How are you?
Kate, yes.
Hi, you're on. What's up?
Yeah, I was on. I was brought up on 48th Street right after the war. And back in those days, there was no air conditioning. So there were wealthy apartments and less wealthy apartments and downright poor apartments. But out when summer came, we all had to get out on the street at night. We couldn't stand it inside. So we took our chairs and we went outside. We talked to everybody. We knew everybody. The cops used to run dances. They used to close the street off and put up lanterns for the teenagers to get out there and dance. So by the time they got to be young men, the cops knew exactly who they were. We knew who the cops were. They came and opened the hydrants for the little kids to go in.
I remember those days.
Yeah, how do you want to know about Roosevelt? And, you know, I was born the same year Roosevelt was elected. So I know those times. I mean, today nobody's friendly. You know, here in Hackensack, it's not too bad. We have a pretty well-integrated community. But not back then. No, there were no black people involved. There would have been if they had been allowed to live on that street. But it was a whole different time.
I don't even. Thanks for your call. Wonderful call. I don't even minimize the impact of historical grievances and the kind of inequity and racism that she alluded to. Our caller there from the old days. There is definitely a residual of that, but that doesn't absolve people of the responsibility to obey the law, to not kill their neighbors, to not settle beefs with guns, like in my day. I mean, one of the problems was, I mean, there was plenty of, you know, you had the same emotions. I was just reading how Fleet Week used to be, how crazy Fleet Week used to be. Sailors used to come into the town, and there was a bar brawl every 5 minutes. You know, barroom stools thrown here and there. I participated in more than a few myself, but nobody shot each other. You know, if someone had a knife, they were a freak, a psychopath. Nowadays, there's more than one gun per American. I mean, it's just like, and that's okay. I heard Rand Paul on TV today. He was saying, how is it that the Republicans are so obsessed with the Second Amendment that we overlook the Fourth Amendment about search and seizure and that kind of stuff with the bulk data collection of the NSA and all that? He's right. Republicans are so obsessed with the Second Amendment. I mean, how much of that obsession can be directly traced to what we're talking about, this they're talking about the floods in Texas? We have a flood here. It's a red flood. A red flood. A flood of murder. A flood of gun mayhem and violence. And we're picketing because the cops are insensitive or Black Lives Matter. I get that. Black lives do matter. I want body cameras on the cops. I want tasers rather than guns. Or guns, tasers in addition to guns. But now they're saying that the cops in Baltimore, for example, aren't doing their job. Why aren't they doing their job? They're not doing their job because a cop goes to stop somebody who's doing something hinky and there's 20 cameras in his face. You know, everybody's like and all over him. And they, how far away from the incident are they? 2 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet. If you're a cop, what are you going to do? When you see some unruly drunken guy or stoned guy or someone who looks as, are you going to go and roust him now, especially without stop and frisk here? Are you going to go and say, what's up? And like the caller said about the old days on the West Side, it was Officer Krumke. Officer Krumke knew if the hinky person was a neighborhood person or a stranger, therefore no good. He knew. Nowadays, you don't have that. You don't have that interpersonal relationship, community policing like that, the way we used to.
And now you got to worry about some sick freak who just wants to assassinate you like they did with this poor officer in New Orleans over the weekend.
What happened there?
This guy was shot in his patrol car.
Just for nothing?
For nothing. Shot in his patrol car for nothing. Just like Brian Moore was shot stopping that officer, stopping that thug in Queens. I mean, you want, and you know what I just saw outside? I meant to tell you this when I walked in. I was outside right here, right outside Penn Station, and I was walking about maybe 5 or 10 feet behind this guy who I could tell was developmentally disabled. And he was trying to find Penn Station. And because he didn't know what he was doing, he kind of ran full force when he saw this police officer towards the officer to ask him directions, of course. But he didn't know what his body language was saying. And it was just too fast for me to sort of stop it from happening. And I just watched it. He ran as fast as he could towards this officer. And the look on this officer's face is, what's about to happen here? And he stopped with that personal space being way too short, just a couple inches from the officer's face. And he said, can you tell me where the Penn Station is? He was right above Penn Station. And you could see sort of the relief and the anger at the same time over this officer's face as he said, well, it's right downstairs. And I thought, geez, this could have been a horrible moment because officers are worried about people like this running up to them who are armed.
As they should be, as they have to be with this day and age with Al-Qaeda, hatchet men, and all the rest of it. You know, there's got to be solutions to this. And I think that, first of all, to me, what you describe, the bottom line on that is that was a trained cop whose training clicked in. He wasn't a rookie. He had the appropriate time at the police academy and time on the job, and he responded appropriately. I mean, the anger, of course, the fear, of course, but nobody got hurt.
No.
And someone could have been, and the cop would have been acquitted. You know, there would have been protests. The cop, you know, would have explained. The guy charged at me. I didn't know he was developmentally disabled or from David Dukes. I didn't know who he was. The cop would have been acquitted, just like those cops in Cleveland just were. Imagine jumping on the hood and one cop firing 20, 30 rounds, reloading, keep firing, because you were fearful, and the cops all, I get that, but now what you've got to do is we've got to lower the temperature now, before it gets hot out there. We got to lower the temperature, we've got to have outreach to these communities. We have to have all the Jay-Z's of the world, you know, turn there rather than bailing out protesters. There's a great story in here. in the Times today, in the national section, by Lizette Alvarez. It tells the story of a guy in Orlando, a small town near Orlando, a guy named Harris Rosen, the Jewish guy from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. He got wealthy in the hotel business. So he takes his money, so far $11 million, and he's adopted this school. This guy, a little Jewish guy, adopted this school, black school, and he says to the kid, first of all, he has pre-K that he funds, and then he puts them all through college, the way I did at Rafael Cordero Junior High in Spanish Harlem. He puts them through they go to state school, he pays the tuition. Crime is way down in this community. Obviously it's an easier fix when you have a small town like this. But what if you had the way they have, like adopt the highway? And you see that, Donald Trump cleaned up this part of the Palisades and, this one, American beautification, the highways, you adopt we should have adopt a school, adopt the highway. Let's start that kind of stuff again. And led by all the people who've made all this money from the community. Every one of these rappers can adopt one neighborhood and put some of this enormous wealth, some of it, not all, but some of it, garnered with lyrics that if anything at a minimum glorify a violent lifestyle, a lifestyle of guns and mayhem. I think that it's only fitting. Wouldn't that be a nice campaign to make the civil rights issue of our era? A self-help, preaching responsibility and standards and integration. What happened to integration? It's going back to that other discussion. I think integration helps. Old style integration. You make it, you get everything that everybody else who makes it at that level gets. Acceptance, virtue extolled, pride, respect.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
55 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Memorial Day was fun. It was a great weekend. Perfect weather. Hope you had a great time with your family. Hope you got the old barbecue out. I spent most of the time on the water. My favorite place. New York Harbor, should be more boats out there, but I guess the harbor, a lot of people don't have their boats in the water yet. You know, everyone delays and then it's July and then before you know it, it's September and time flies. You know, we're talking about inner city violence and my main point, and it is heartbreaking, and I understand how concerned so many minority families are of police initiated violence in this Cleveland case. The a bunch of cops, mixed race cops, I don't mean that each individual cop was mixed race. You know what I mean? Black cops, white cops, a bunch of them, killed these two unarmed black, car passengers. When the car they were driving it started backfiring, it sounded like shots. There was a pursuit. The people panicked. The couple panicked when they were pursued by the cops. They were going 100 miles an hour. The cops finally stopped them. Adrenaline pumping. And, scores of shots fired. Four of the shots, the mortal shots fired by this one cop who was on trial, who was just acquitted. And the judge found that if all these cops were reacting similarly, it's very hard to prove that any one of them was guilty. I understand the beat, but that's not the main problem. I'll talk about that when we come back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Death ain't nothing but a heartbeat. The way I'm living life, do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know.
Tell me, why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you?
The ones we heard are you and me. Amen, Coolio. He's 23 now. You don't know if they'll be 24. Doesn't know. We need more of this kind of sermonizing, it seems to me, rather than glorifying the violence. And so much of the that hip-hop culture glorifies the violence. Too much. Harold, thank you for holding on. Thank you for calling 866-ORALDO. What is on your mind, sir?
Well, I think it's an insult to the black community that the way that your station and you are portraying the black community as if they're not doing anything to try to stop this, stop the violence.
I'm listening.
Okay. Number one, we got to stop treating this like a black problem and stop attacking the black family. When you're, I mean, so how do you say that? You know, there got to be more responsibility. It is a problem for the whole country. Right now, we got so much heroin coming into this country from Afghanistan.
Where do you live, Harold? Where do you live? What community? Where is your home?
Well, I'm Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay, the Bridgeport's got its share of problems. So tell me about the heroin.
Okay, you got heroin flooding this country. So much that it's even gotten cheaper, okay? And there's only one place that it's coming from is Afghanistan. And, I mean, that's a nice little place we have a war. We did the same thing in Vietnam. The only thing they produced was what, heroin, cocaine, or whatever. All of a sudden, the black community and the holy hoes in the United States get flooded with this.
So, Harold, do you blame it all on heroin and you don't think the community has any responsibility?
No, the community has responsibility. But it's not like when you hear Waco, Texas, when he had 9 people shot, okay? You're not going around saying...
Oh, we were on the air for a couple of days with that biker massacre, and I was shocked and stunned by it. You're not being fair, and I think that what you're doing, Harold, in a big picture, is a reflection of the deflection of any kind of responsibility. It's so easy, all right, now heroin's to blame. I agree that the drug war has been a terrible failure and that, you know, there should be a lot more treatment centers and all the rest of it. But you had 9 people shot in New York. You had 9 in Baltimore, a city 7% the size of New York, killed this weekend. I mean, it's not heroin doing the shooting.
No, but what I'm saying is...
But what you're saying is it's always somebody else's fault. And that's my beef.
What I'm saying is that there are hardworking people, and each one of those.
God bless. I said a million times. God bless every hardworking person. God bless every father and mother that are responsible citizens and take care of their children. It is difficult. It is a hard job, and I know it as the father of 5. And we had our own rough times. But right now, to point at cops or point at Afghanistan and say that's the problem. I don't think that flies anymore, man. I love your call, and I appreciate it, and I hope you come back. Here's Nina in Washington Heights. Hi, Nina.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for being there. You and Mr. Layton, listen to you every day. It's a war zone up here in Washington Heights. I think you know that. It always has been. But what disturbs me as a senior citizen is that I see the shootings, I see the young people lying dead on the sidewalk, the gang banging, the drive-by shooting in front of my buildings. It's never reported, Geraldo. It's never reported on the news. It's not in the newspaper. And I just believe really and truly that the people in New York, all the boroughs, we have no idea the enormity of what's going on because it's never reported.
Well, I tell you this much. I appreciate you calling. I hope that you stay safe. But one of the problems in New York, and it is true, and we love the city, and Commissioner Bratton is a fabulous cop. I mean, I think that he's the strongest official we have in these 5 boroughs. I really appreciate everything that he does. And I appreciated him in his first time as commissioner, and I'm welcome him back. But the NYPD could be a lot better at reporting what goes on than they are. We shouldn't have to struggle to find out real-time statistics. Every other city reports them, and we should as well. CompStat is an instantaneous thing. Once something is found, are they holding it out because they don't know whether it's an alleged murder or not? Maybe they should change the categories. Instead of murder, they should put homicide. Homicide means someone took the death, someone caused the death of another. It's not an adjudication, but at least it'll give us an idea. And I fault them for being tardy, where everybody else is much more, prompt and efficient in their reporting. Okay, what else is on your mind? Here's Gino, our buddy in the Bronx. What's up, man?
Harold is exactly the type of individual.
Harold of Bridgeport, the caller we just had.
That's right. That I dealt with when I was a probation officer. It's always the same excuse. Somebody else is bringing drugs into the neighborhood. But when I told these guys, especially the drug dealers on my caseload, which would you rather do for a living? Would you rather flip hamburgers at McDonald's for $5 an hour, or would you rather sell that vial of crack cocaine that you sell for $5 a vial, but you only get 50 cents in commission? Which one is legal and which one is not a legal occupation? Which one is going to lead to a stepping stone to a better job and at least some work experience, or which is going to put you in a prison cell or in the grave when you're dealing with other drug dealers who are going to blow your brains out for that same drug turf? This is what Harold doesn't understand, and this is what the people that I tried to warn didn't understand. You got to get an education. If you drop out of high school, if you father five different kids with five different women by the time you're 25 years old, you have zero chance. And I told my would-be probationers this. But just like Harold, they all had thick skulls. They all had people who made excuses for them, like your buddy boy, Slimeball Sharpton, who always makes excuses for why the black community never gets itself up off the ground. Of any racial or ethnic group in American history, black folk are the only ones.
We're not attacking. You know, the problem with that kind of statement is that it alienates a segment of our community that has to be engaged in fixing this problem. We can't smear with that broad brush. It's just not fair. It's just not fair. I mean, in my life, the people that are close to me, multiracial, the children multiracial, the success story is multiracial, the secret, the American dream is multiracial. And we have to be in this together. What I am faulting is the leadership of the various communities. You refer to Reverend Sharpton with a pejorative. I don't. I think that he does speak to this issue. Not nearly enough. Why not? I suspect, going back to where I started the program an hour and 15 minutes ago, it is so much easier to point responsibility at Afghanistan or at the trigger-happy cops, or at an insensitive, you name it, than to accept responsibility. Responsibility is very difficult. Where I totally agree is, I think a high school diploma, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but of all the indicators of your chance of success in life, wouldn't you agree a high school diploma is the key? It is definitely what separates the can-dos from the can't do's. You drop out of high school, what are your odds of getting a meaningful career going? Unless you're like a nuclear genius, physicist instinctively that can invent some computer, something or other. That's rare. Or become the Little Wayne. It's not going to happen. Graduate high school. I love this guy. And I go back to the this guy in the Today's Times. Read it if you got it. One man's millions turn a community in Florida around. I think that the private sector can get involved, we get engaged. Ed Koch had the program. I mean, de Blasio is supposed to be the big socialist, right? Why doesn't he become a pragmatist and reach out to the high rollers rather than alienate them? Like all those people that live in that building, 157.
Right.
West, where they're buying apartments for 70 million or 60 million. I don't want to exaggerate, but it's a lot. I saw one, that was the 77th floor went for 40-something million, the 77th floor. So that guy get 1% to adopt the school on around 57th Street someplace.
Well, you know, all something you have to do like is that. Ask. A lot of time, that's all it is. You just have to ask.
Let's call on the mayor to reestablish this program, the Adopt a School program. We try your hardest to keep people in school. Hey, Stan, our buddy in Forest Hills. What's up, man?
How are you, my friend?
All right.
Let's talk about leadership. A man in 1980 came up to the Bronx, and the people saying we need jobs. He was running for president. His name was Ronald Reagan. He didn't help the inner city when he was elected. He didn't help the people. Republicans have been claiming that you can do the work, but they don't. Here's the thing. Tax cuts will not stop a bullet. Enterprise zones will not stop a bullet. But you have a major point. How about if we can build a company, we can rebuild the inner city. Get companies to come into the city. Give them tax abatements or tax cuts after they try to rebuild the city. Let President Obama speak to major companies that, look, come into Baltimore. Come into Philadelphia. We'll give you tax cuts. I don't like them, but after you do the work of helping to build jobs and get jobs. It's jobs, jobs, jobs.
I would forgive the tax liens on every one of those 35,000 derelict buildings. Imagine 35,000 empty buildings in a community that side of town, 300,000 people. Imagine that.
You're right.
35,000. Right. I'd say I got 35,000 abandoned buildings, derelict buildings in the side of town where the only 300,000 people live. I mean, isn't that, that's America. That's not Bangladesh. It's America. Why don't they forgive those tax liens? Give those buildings to the community. Teach them construction trades. Get proactive. That's why I think that if Republicans would listen to me, we could gain a vote that has never been a GOP vote by empowering people. I would take all the public housing in New York and privatize it. I've said that before. Give people a stake. And Jobs is absolutely, I mean, Stan's right about that. Jobs, jobs, jobs. But let's be practical about it. And this whole thing with cops now, I've got to take a quick break.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's see, it's 26 minutes after 11 o'clock on this 26th day of May. May has flown by, but it has been a very pleasant spring so far. My favorite time of year. I love the days getting longer, and there is a melancholy aspect, even though summer starts on June 21st. You know, maybe that's the Jewish side. I see the days getting shorter also.
Already. You're already looking at the bad side. You haven't gotten through the
June
good 22nd. Stuff yet.
It's a very Yiddish thing, a Hamish thing. But, it's a wonderful time. Enjoy it. And then with the kids off, enjoy the kids. Right now, we're talking, though, about the dark side. I remember, remember the Al Pacino movie about the stick-up dog days?
Three Dog Night. Three Dog Night. What was it? Dog Day After.
Dog Day After.
Three Dog Night. I don't know where that came from.
A dog.
I knew there was a dog in there.
Dog Day Afternoon. Yeah, there really was. I mean, there was a dread in New York when August came. You know, one of the things that's happened, Bloomberg pointed this out. Poverty is not the same as it was back in my day. I hate to, go back to, start playing the violin. The two biggest differences are that almost everybody has a car and everybody has air conditioning. Virtually everybody in New York has air conditioning. And it really has changed the way it was growing up in the, in the 50s and 60s. Everybody outside in that August heat, you get those days, those dank, drippy days. You just can't think straight. You just don't want to do it. And the tempers flared, and the crime statistics absolutely track the weather. I think one of the reasons, and it's one of the untold stories, is one of the reasons crime is down is air conditioning has affected people. Now what you're seeing in more recent times is this influx of guns. I almost wish that those tolls on the Jersey Turnpike, when you pay the last toll before you get onto the Lincoln Tunnel, that was like a border crossing almost. Because I have no doubt but that trunk loads of weapons are coming into the five boroughs from Virginia and Georgia and places like that where all you need to do is Florida. All you need to do is show a driver's license to get a gun. And there's no limits on the number of guns you can purchase in many of these communities. So how we can have this kind of intentional ignorance. What is intentionally ignorant? What is intentionally ignorant is if you go into a gun store and you say, I want 6 9mm. What do you need 6 for? Target practice. Okay. You know, you wait 24 hours, you know, we check you out. If you're not a felon, all right. So here's your half a dozen Glocks or whatever they are. So you can go in target practice. So they put it in the back seat. And that's it. They put it in the back seat and it comes to New York where they sell it for $500 each over, you know, they bought it for $100, $1.50. They sell for $500 each or more. It's just, you know, I think that when we complain about the influx, as Bloomberg did, and Republicans object using the Second Amendment, I just think that history will be harsh with those who extol the virtue of that one amendment over the right to the pursuit of happiness and life, liberty, and the pursuit. I mean, what about the constitutional rights of everybody that gets shot by a gun protected by the Second Amendment? I mean, I don't want to make it about the Second Amendment, but I think it's part of the problem. We have to admit it. It's not just errant, broken families. It's they're armed with deadly weapons.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Look at him with it. Get over there. Go back there, man. Get over there. What's up? He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill him.
Attica! 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 Attica!
Pacino.
Three Dog Night, the movie Three Dog Night.
Dog Day Afternoon, the classic. Talking about the bad old days, the pre-air conditioning days in many, many neighborhoods around the city, where everybody was outside and tempers were hanging by a thread. The slightest thing could ignite a violent response because everybody was so uncomfortable. That's not the New York of today, but we don't want the New York of today to mimic the New York of those bad old days in the 60s and 70s where violence was so commonplace that we had a body count the way we did in the war in Vietnam. But there's a lot going on out there, and I see, you know, I just want to talk about this one thing that's not happening. What's not happening in New York is that cops are not shying away from doing their job. I hope it's not happening, and I haven't heard many anecdotal stories of it. Have you?
I haven't. I think it's sort of almost insulting to suggest that, because when you put that uniform on, you know what your job is.
Except in Baltimore, it is pretty well established now. Arrests are at 50% of the level they were a year ago. Why is that?
Is that a union thing? Is the union telling them to slow down?
I think it's more human nature. I don't know what the union is doing, what the union is whispering in Baltimore to the officers. But if arrests are down by half, that is a very undeniable, it seems to me, symptom of a blue flu that's plaguing Baltimore now. Why? Because the cops, they have six cops arrested. There is no way. I want to say as clearly as I can, the Cleveland case is evidence of this. The Cleveland case, the notorious Cleveland case where the guy was shot, I don't know, they shot him at 140 times or something like that. And the one cop, the one white cop, the first cop charged to go on trial was just acquitted by a judge. It wasn't a jury trial, it was a judge, the cop named Brello. Brello shot one of the four shots that killed the guy. But you know, the point is those cops now are under such scrutiny. They're under such scrutiny with all of these incidents happening, and some of them really are indefensible. But they are, I'm telling you, a minority of the fatalities in the community are caused by cops. A tiny, tiny minority. Most of it is self-inflicted. Most of it is urban suicide. This is what we have to deal with. This is the civil rights issue of our day. We have to stop this internecine violence. We've got to stop killing each other. All right, let me get in as many calls as I can now before our time expires. And, man, the time flies. Here's Willie in New Jersey. What are you thinking about, buddy? Thanks for calling.
Oh, you are wonderful. I'll tell you. I treasure this show.
I appreciate that.
You hit it on the head. The main problem with the black community is lack of family closeness, whatever you want to say. My daughter was married to a black guy. I have four black grandchildren. She's the head of the PTA. One kid has a 3.8 index. They're involved in all different things. They have a father, but he's out of the picture. But he checks in now and then. You know, he lives in South Carolina. They live in California. But what I wanted to say is, if there's no input, these people, they want to go, and I see it. They want to go around and live their, you know, like their single life. Go and talk to their neighbor when they got a two-year-old kid roaming around in a house that falls out the window or something like that. This is all, you know.
You have to be careful with stereotyping. I appreciate your personal experience, but there are plenty of families where
no, I know.
Parents struggle to raise their kids.
Yeah, there's plenty. I know them. That's the whole thing.
Like your grandchildren, and God right. bless you that you that, they're doing so
saying.
Well.
And she has a boyfriend who's black. He has kids. They're all doing well in school. They're well spoken. They have manners. That's the lack right now. The kids today have no respect. They have no manners, and that's they go out and do things like when you were a kid. You were ashamed to do something to make your father feel, you know, like I was. I was ashamed, you know. Today they don't care. It's like I don't know. They're nihilist.
You know, in broad strokes, I agree with you, mate, and I appreciate the call.
And
God bless you for
what
the
I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Here I live in near Tom's River. It's loaded with heroin.
I know.
Loaded, and it's white boy land.
Yep.
Loaded.
So let me see. How did they get the money to buy heroin in Tom's River?
They steal it. They
is the crime? Is there a lot of violence in Tom's River?
Well, there's a lot of like break-ins, into cars, into burglaries and stuff like that.
Right.
They don't let it out.
And is Tom's River Ocean County? What county?
Absolutely.
It is.
It is.
That's a big heroin capital. We have a lot of heroin
like
in Staten Island now.
You go to Seaside Heights. It's like 42nd Street was 30 years ago. It's unbelievable.
And they don't have
the manpower to really control it because, you know, they have like a small police force. And, you know, they had a couple of big busts. You know, but the thing of it is that getting back to they have to put something into the kids. The kids have to be directed, you know, and they have to have a direction. You can't let them roam free.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate your call, Grandpa. You sound like a great guy. You really do. And I appreciate you and your family. Let's squeeze in Jimmy from Long Island. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Araldo, how are you? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to touch base on the Second Amendment comment, and I'm sure you've heard it a billion times, but I just need to be able to tell Araldo.
Go ahead.
So, it's personal responsibility. Think about something. Every house in America, every household has a drawer full of steak knives, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, we don't go out and hand them out to our friends, you know, and stab people on subways. You know, you've heard the expression, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Same thing, Burger King's not making you fat, it's the people. But I just want to touch base on something else that kind of relates. I live in Massapequa, the town where not only did Brian Moore get killed, but Ed Byrne got killed. And when I say personal responsibility...
You mean they didn't get killed there, but they're from there.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry, right.
That's okay.
We live in Massapequa. And, you know, again, we didn't protest and break windows and burn buildings. It's people, you know what I mean? So when you say about the guns, you know it and I know it. They're going to get them anyway. So then what happens to the innocent people if you do want to protect yourself, which the law was originally written for? So, again, you know what I mean? We have steak knives. Even if I had a drawer full of guns, and I mean this sincerely, if I went and handed them out to all of my friends, I would bet $1 million not one person would commit a crime with them. It's the people. You're never going to stop that. So, again, if someone handed me a dozen illegal handguns, and I went, here, Joe, Bob, Sam, give every one of them a gun, not one of my friends is going to go out and kill somebody with it. I will bet you my life on that. So it's people taking the guns away and doing what you say. You know, of course, it sounds like the best answer, but it's not, because the criminals are going to get them. And again, I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but, you know, that's my feeling.
All right, I got you. I got you, and I understand that. And I understand the instinct, particularly. I know, here's the bitter irony of what I'm doing. You know, in talking and pointing out violence. What are you pointing out violence? What's the reaction of a homeowner to all these stories of the swelling of violence? The instinct will be to protect themselves. So the instinct will be to arm themselves in some way, shape, or form. I get that. And it's the statistic. I have to look it up. I haven't seen it in a long time. But the comparison, like the four-year-old you've been reporting was killed.
Yonkers, yeah.
Yonkers, all right. But somebody's
she's
gun.
Not dead, but she shot herself in the face.
Shot herself in the face, okay. Those stories are far more statistically common than the story of the homeowner who successfully uses a gun to stop a break-in, to stop a home invader. I mean, it happens occasionally, the hero homeowner stopping the break-in, but it's very rare compared to the four-year-old who kills the two-year-old with daddy's gun. You know, so I don't think it's the answer or the solution. I go back to what the grandpa said about respect and about family responsibility and family values. You know, I come from a minority group that's stereotyped all the time. Puerto Ricans, we used to be synonymous with violence, with the West Side Story and so forth. We were the stereotype. But you fight through it. You fight through it. You've got to change the way your birth isn't destiny anymore in this country. You fight through it. You change who you are. You get back to basics.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
I got a minute for Curtis Lewa to tell us about this epidemic of violence. He's heading for Baltimore.
That's right. We have guardian angels there, but a lot of neighborhoods are wanting to self-police because the police are just not going in, especially West Baltimore, and making arrests. You pointed that out, how arrests are down significantly. Shootings are up. Murders are up. It's once again re-earned its name of Body Bag City.
Body Bag City. What about here, 9 dead?
Well, look at it. Manhattan now is leading the way.
16 this year.
And so our mayor, Bill de Blasio, right? I guess he's ready to go out to Iowa where there are more pigs than people. He better start focusing on local problems and the shootings that are taking place here and the murders.
What is it? What's the reason? Is it dope?
Of course, it's always drugs and the drug boys who want to shoot it up. But it's also because the cops aren't being as aggressive. They're not doing the jump outs. They're not throwing people up against the wall.
Do we need stop and frisk again?
Absolutely. It's a precautionary to keep guns off the streets. Because the only ones who are going to get killed are the people who live in those neighborhoods. Not you and I.
Stay tuned. Curtis and Kuby next. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.